none of them could break. Clary found she was staring at the others, trying to memorize them. Simon's brown eyes, the curve of Jace's collarbone under the red jacket, the arch of Alex's eyebrow, Isabel's worried frown. Stop, she told herself. This isn't the end, you'll see them again. She glanced behind her. Past the bridge were the gates, wide open, and past that were the Indarkans, standing motionless. Clary had the sense they were watching too, everything caught in stillness in this one breathless moment before the fall. Now. She stepped forward into the darkness. She heard Jay say her name very low, almost a whisper, and then she was over the threshold, and light was all around her, blinding in its suddenness. She heard the murmur of the others as they took their places at her side, and then the cold rush of air as the door slammed shut behind them. She raised her eyes. They were standing in an enormous entryway, the size of the inside of the Accords Hall. A massive, double-spiral stone staircase led upward, twisting and winding, two sets of stairs that interwove with each other but never met. Each was lined on either side by a stone balustrade, and Sebastian was leaning against one of the near balustrades, smiling down at them. It was a positively feral smile, delighted and anticipatory. He wore spotless scarlet gear, and his hair shone like iron. He shook his head. "Clary, Clary," he said, "I really thought you were much smarter than this." Clary cleared her throat. It felt clotted from dust and from fear. Her skin was buzzing as if she'd swallowed adrenaline. "Smarter than what?" she said, and nearly winced at the echo of her own voice, bouncing off the bare stone walls. There were no tapestries, no paintings, nothing to soften the harshness. Though she didn't know what else she would have expected from a demon world. Of course there was no art. "We are here," she said. "Inside your fortress, there are five of us and one of you."
"Oh, right," he said. "Am I supposed to look surprised?"
He twisted his face up into a mocking grimace of false astonishment that made Clary's gut twist.
"Who could believe it?" he said mockingly. "I mean, never mind that obviously I found out from the Queen that you'd come here, but since you've arrived, you've set an enormous fire, tried to steal a demon-protected artifact. I mean, you've done everything other than put up an enormous flashing arrow pointing directly to your location." He sighed. "I've always known most of you were terribly stupid. Even Jace, well, you're pretty but not too bright, are you? Maybe if Valentine had had a few more years with you, but no, probably not even then. The Herondales have always been a family more prized for their jawlines than their intelligence. As for the Lightwoods, well, the less said the better. Generations of idiots." "But Clary..."
"You forgot me," Simon said. Sebastian dragged his gaze over to Simon as if he were distasteful.
"You do keep turning up like a bad penny," he said. "Tedious little vampire. I killed the one who made you. Did you know that? I thought vampires were supposed to feel that sort of thing, but you seem indifferent. Terribly callous."
Clary felt Simon stiffen minutely beside her, remembered him in the cave doubling over as if he were in pain, saying he felt as if someone had stuck a knife in his chest.
"Raphael,"
Simon whispered. Beside him, Alec had paled markedly. "What about the others?" he demanded in a rough voice. "Magnus, Luke."
"Our mother," Clary said. "Surely even you wouldn't hurt her."
Sebastian's smirk turned brittle.
"She's not my mother," he said, and then shrugged with a sort of exaggerated exasperation. "She's alive," he said. "As for the warlock and the werewolf, I couldn't say. I haven't checked on them in a while. The warlock wasn't looking so well the last time I saw him," he added. "I don't think this dimension's been good for him. He might be dead by now, but you really can't expect me to have seen that."
Alec lifted his bow in a single swift motion. "Foresee this," he said, and let an arrow fly. It shot straight towards Sebastian, who moved like lightning, plucking the arrow out of the air, fingers closing around it as it vibrated in his grasp. Clary heard Isabel's sudden intake of breath, felt the rush of blood and dread in her own veins. Sebastian pointed the sharp end of the arrow toward Alec as if he were a teacher wielding a ruler, and made a clucking noise of disapproval.
"Naughty," he said. "Try to harm me in my own stronghold, will you, at the heart of my power? As I said, you're a fool. You are all fools."
He made a sudden gesture, a twist of the wrist, and the arrow snapped, the sound like a gunshot. The double doors at both ends of the entryway flew open and demons poured in. Clary had expected it and braced herself, but there was no real bracing oneself for something like this. She had seen demons, quantities of them, and yet as the flood poured in from both sides, spider creatures with fat, poisonous bodies, skinless humanoid monsters dripping blood, things with talons and teeth and claws, massive praying mantises with jaws that dropped open as if unhinged. Her skin felt as if it wanted to crawl away from her body. She forced herself still, her hand on his forearm, and looked up at her brother. He met her gaze with his own dark one, and she remembered the boy in her vision, the one with green eyes like hers. She saw a furrow appear between his eyes. He raised his hand, snapped his fingers. "Stop," he said. The demons froze, mid-motion, on either side of Clary and the others. She could hear Jace's harsh breathing, felt him press his fingers against the hand she was holding behind her back. A silent signal. The others were rigid, surrounding her. "My sister," Sebastian said. "Don't hurt her. Bring her to me, here. Kill the others." He narrowed his eyes at Jace. "If you can." The demons surged forward. Isabel's necklace pulsed like a strobe light, sending out blazing tongues of red and gold, and in the fiery light, Clary saw the others turn to hold the demons off. It was her chance. She spun around and darted toward the wall, feeling the agility rune on her arm burn as she launched herself up, caught at the rough stone with her left hand, and swung forward, slamming the tip of her steely into the granite as if it were an axe going into tree bark. She felt the stone shudder. Small fissures appeared, but she clung on grimly, dragging her steely along the wall surface, swift and slashing. She felt the grind and drag of it distantly. Everything seemed to have receded, even the screech and crash of fighting behind her, the stink and howl of demons. She could only feel the power of the familiar runes echoing through her as she drew and drew and drew. Something seized her ankle and yanked. A bolt of pain shot up her leg. She glanced down and saw a ropey tentacle wrapped around her boot, dragging her down. It was attached to a demon that looked like a massive, molting parrot with tentacles exploding out from where its wings should have been. She clung on harder to the wall, whipping her steely back and forth, the rock shivering as the black lines ate into the stone. The pressure on her ankle increased. With a cry, Clary let go, her steely falling as she tumbled, hitting the ground hard. She gasped and rolled to the side just as an arrow flew past her head and sank deep into the grasping demon's flesh. She whipped her head up and saw Alec, reaching back for another arrow, just as the runes on the wall behind her blazed up like a map of heavenly fire. Jace was beside Alec, his sword in his hand, his eyes fixed on Clary. She nodded minutely. "Do it." The demon that had been holding her roared. The tentacle loosed its grasp, and Clary staggered up and to her feet. She hadn't been able to draw a rectangular doorway, so the entrance scrawled on the wall was blazing in a ragged circle, like the opening to a tunnel. Within the blaze, she could see the shimmer of the portal. It rippled like silver water. Jace hurtled by her and threw himself into it. She caught a brief glimpse of what was beyond, the blasted Accords Hall, the statue of Jonathan Shadowhunter, before she flung herself forward, pressing her hand to the portal, keeping it open so that Sebastian couldn't close it. Jace needed only a few seconds. She could hear Sebastian behind her, screaming in a language she didn't know. The stench of demons was all around. She heard a hiss and a rattle and turned to see a ravenous scuttling towards her, its scorpion tail raised. She flinched back just as it fell apart in two pieces,
Isabel's metal whip scissoring down to slice it in half. Stinking ichor flooded across the floor. Simon grabbed Clary and dragged her back, just as the portal swelled with a sudden, incredible light and Jace came through it. Clary sucked in a breath. Never had Jace looked so much like an avenging angel, hurtling through cloud and fire. His bright hair seemed to burn as he landed lightly and raised the weapon he was holding in his hand. It was Jonathan Shadowhunter's Skeptron. The orb at the center was shining. Through the portal behind Jace, just before it closed, Clary could see the dark shapes of flying demons, heard their shrieks of disappointment and rage as they arrived to find the weapon gone and the thief nowhere to be seen. As Jace raised the Skeptron, the demons around them began to scuttle backward. Sebastian was leaning over the balustrade, his hands clenched on it, dead white. He was staring at Jace. "Jonathan," he said, and his voice rose and carried. "Jonathan, I forbid." Jace thrust the Skeptron skyward, and the orb burst into flame. It was a brilliant, contained, icy flame, more light than heat, but a piercing light that shot through the whole room, limning everything in brilliance. Clary saw the demons turn to flaming silhouettes before they shuddered and exploded into ash. The ones closest to Jace crumbled first, but the light ran through all of them like a fissure opening in the earth, and one by one, they shrieked and dissolved, leaving a thick layer of grey-black ash on the floor. The light intensified, burning brighter until Clary closed her eyes, still seeing the burst of last brilliance through her eyelids. When she opened them again, the entryway was almost empty. Only she and her companions remained. The demons were gone, and Sebastian was there, still, standing pale and shocked on the stairway. "No," he ground out through clenched teeth. Jace was still standing with the Skeptron in his hand. The orb had turned black and dead, like a light bulb that had burned out. He looked up at Sebastian, his chest rising and falling fast. "You thought we didn't know you were expecting us," he said, "but we were counting on it." He took a step forward. "I know you," he said, still breathlessly, his hair wild and his golden eyes blazing. "You took me over, took control of me, forced me to do whatever you wanted, but I learned from you. You were in my head, and I remember. I remember how you think, how you plan, I remember all of it. I knew you'd underestimate us, think we didn't guess it was a trap, think we wouldn't have planned for that. You forget I know you, down to the last corner of your arrogant little mind, I know you." "Shut up," Sebastian hissed. He pointed at them with a shaking hand. "You will pay in blood for this," he said, and then he turned and ran up the steps, vanishing so quickly that even Alex Arrow, winging after him, couldn't catch him up. It hit the curve of the staircase instead and snapped on impact with a stone, then fell to the ground in two neat pieces. "Jace," Clary said. She touched his arm. He seemed frozen in place. "Jace, when he says we'll pay in blood, he doesn't mean our blood. He means theirs. Luke and Magnus and Mom. We have to go find them." "I agree." Alec had lowered his bow. His red gear jacket had been torn from him in the fight, and the bracer on his arm was stained with blood. "Each staircase leads to a different level. We're going to have to split up. Jace, Clary, you take the east staircase. The rest of us will take the other." No one protested. Clary knew Jace would never have agreed to split off from her, and neither would Alec have left his sister, or Isabel and Simon have left each other. If they had to separate, this was the only way to do it. "Jace," Alec said again, and this time the word seemed to snap Jace out of his fugue state. He tossed the dead Skeptron aside, let it clatter to the ground, and looked up with a nod. "Right," he said. And the door behind them burst open. Dark Shadowhunters in red gear began to pour into the room. Jace seized Clary's wrist and they ran, Alec and the others pounding along beside them until they reached the stairway and broke apart. Clary thought she heard Simon say her name as she and Jace lunged for the east staircase. She turned around to look for him, but he was gone. The room was full of the Indarkened, several of them raising weapons, crossbows, even slingshots, to take aim. She ducked her head and continued to run.
Gia Penhallow stood on the balcony of the guard and looked down over the city of Alicante. The balcony was rarely used. There had been a time when the consul had often spoken to the populace from this spot high above them, but the habit had fallen out of favor in the 19th century, when Consul Fairchild had decided that the action smacked too much of the behavior of a pope or king. Twilight had come, and the lights of Alicante had begun to burn. Witch light in the windows of every house and storefront, witch light illuminating the statue in Angel Square, witch light pouring from the basilias. Gia took a deep breath, holding the note from Maya Roberts that spoke of hope in her left hand as she readied herself. The demon towers flared up blue, and Gia began to speak. Her voice echoed from tower to tower, dispersing itself through the city. She could see people stopped in the street, their heads craned back to look at the demon towers, people arrested on the doorsteps of their houses, listening as her words rolled over them like a tide. "Nephilim," she said. "Children of the angel, warriors, tonight we ready ourselves, for tonight Sebastian Morgenstern will bring his forces against us." The wind coming across the hills that surrounded Alicante was icy. Gia shivered. "Sebastian Morgenstern is trying to destroy what we are," she said. "He will bring against us warriors who wear our own faces but are not Nephilim. We cannot hesitate. When we face them, when we look at an Indarkand, we cannot see brother or mother or sister or wife, but a creature in torment. A human from whom all humanity has been stripped. We are what we are because our will is free. We are free to choose. We choose to stand and fight. We choose to defeat Sebastian's forces. They have the darkness. We have the strength of the angel. Fire tests gold. In this fire, we will be tested, and we will shine out. You know the protocol. You know what to do. Go forth, children of the angel. Go forth and light the lights of war."
22. The Ashes of Our Fathers. The sound of a sudden wailing siren split the air, and Emma started up in bed. 22. The Ashes of Our Fathers. The sound of a sudden wailing siren split the air, and Emma started up in bed, scattering the papers to the floor. Her heart was pounding. Through the open window of her bedroom, she could see the demon towers flashing golden red, the colors of war. She staggered to her feet, reaching for her gear, which was on a peg by the bed. She had just slid into it and was bending down to tie up her boots when the door to her room burst open. It was Julian. He skidded halfway inside before catching himself. He stared at the papers on the floor and then at her.
"Emma, didn't you hear the announcement?"
"I was napping." She clipped out the words as she attached the harness that held Cortana to her back, then slipped the blade into the scabbard. "The city's under attack," he said. "We have to get to the Accords Hall. They're going to lock us inside, all the kids. It's the safest place in the city."
"I won't go," Emma said.
Julian stared at her. He was wearing jeans and a gear jacket and sneakers. There was a short sword stuck through his belt. His soft brown curls were wild and unbrushed.
"What do you mean?"
"I don't want to hide in the Accords Hall. I want to fight." Jules pushed his hands through his tangled hair.
"If you fight, I fight," he said.
"And that means nobody carries Tavi to the Accords Hall, and nobody protects Livy or Ty or Drew."
"What about Helen and Aline?" Emma demanded.
"The Penhallows."
"Helen's waiting for us. All the Penhallows are up at the guard, Aline included. There's no one home but Helen and us," said Julian, holding out a hand for Emma.
"Helen can't protect us all on her own and carry the baby too. She's only one person."
He looked at her, and she could see the fear in his eyes, the fear he was usually so careful to shield from the younger children.
"Emma," he said, "you're the best fighter of all of us. You're not just my friend, and I'm not just their older brother. I'm their father, or the closest thing to it, and they need me, and I need you."
The hand he was holding out was shaking. His sea-colored eyes were huge in his pale face. He didn't look like anyone's father.
"Please, Emma."
Slowly, Emma reached out and took his hand, wrapping her fingers around his. She saw him let out a minute breath of relief and felt her chest tighten.
Behind him, through the open door, she could glimpse them. Tavi and Drew, Livia and Tiberius. Her responsibility.
Let's go, she said.
At the top of the stairs, Jace released Clary's hand. She clutched at the balustrade, trying not to cough, though her lungs felt like they wanted to tear their way out of her chest. He looked at her. What's wrong? But then he stiffened. Audible behind them was the sound of racing feet. The Undarkened were on their heels. Come on, Jace said, and started to run again. Clary forced herself after him. Jace seemed to know where he was going, unerringly. She supposed he was using the map of the guard in Alicante that he had in his head, burrowing in toward the center of the keep. They turned into a long corridor. Halfway down it, Jace stopped in front of a set of metal doors. They were slashed with unfamiliar runes. Clary would have expected death runes, something that spoke of hell and darkness. But these were runes of grieving and sorrow for a world destroyed. Who had etched them here, she wondered, and in what excess of mourning? She had seen runes of grief before. Shadowhunters wore them like badges when someone they loved had died, though they did nothing to ease suffering. But there was a difference between grief for a person and grief for a world. Jace ducked his head, kissed her hard and fast on the mouth. Are you ready? She nodded, and he swung the door open and stepped inside. She followed. The room beyond was as large as the council room in Alicante's guard, if not larger. The ceiling rose high above them, though instead of rows of seats, a wide bare marble floor stretched toward a dais at the end of the room. Behind the dais were two massive separate windows. Sunset light poured through each of them, though one sunset was the color of gold, and the other was the color of blood. In the bloody golden light, Sebastian knelt in the center of the room. He was etching runes into the floor, a circle of dark connecting sigils. Realizing what he was doing, Clary started toward him, and then lurched back with a scream as a massive gray shape loomed up in front of her. It looked like an enormous maggot. The only gap in its slick gray body was its mouth full of jagged teeth. Clary recognized it. She'd seen one before in Alicante, rolling its slippery body over a pile of blood and glass and icing sugar. A behemoth demon. She reached for her dagger, but Jace was already leaping, sword in hand. He flew through the air and landed on the back of the demon, stabbing down through its eyeless head. Clary backed away as the behemoth demon thrashed, spraying stinging ichor, a loud, ululating wail coming from its open throat. Jace clung to its back, ichor spraying up over him as he brought the sword down, and down, and down again, until the demon, with a gurgling scream, collapsed to the ground with a thud. Jace rode it down, knees clamped to its sides, until the last moment. He rolled off and hit the ground standing. For a moment there was silence. Jace looked around the room, as if he expected another demon to lunge out at them from the shadows. But there was nothing. Only Sebastian, who had risen to his feet in the center of his now completed circle of runes. He began to clap slowly. Lovely work, he said. Really excellent demon dispatching. I bet Dad would have given you a gold star. Now, shall we dispense with the pleasantries? You recognize where we are, don't you? Jace's eyes moved around the room, and Clary followed his gaze. The light outside the windows had dimmed slightly, and she could see the dais more clearly. On it sat two immense, well, the only word for them was thrones. They were ivory and gold, with gold steps leading up to them. Each had a curved back, embossed with a single key. I am he that liveth and was dead, said Sebastian. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. He made a sweeping gesture toward the two chairs, and Clary realized with a sudden jolt that there was someone kneeling beside the leftmost chair. A dark shadowhunter in red gear. A woman on her knees, her hands clasped in front of her. These are the keys, made over in the shapes of thrones, and given to me by the demons who rule this world, Lilith and Asmodeus. His dark eyes moved to Clary, and she felt his gaze like cold fingers walking up her spine. "I don't know why you're showing me this," she said. "What do you expect, admiration? You won't get it. You can threaten me if you want. You know I don't care. You can't threaten Jace. He has the fire of heaven in his veins. You can't hurt him."
"Can't I?" he said. "Who knows how much of heaven's fire he still has in his veins, after that fireworks display he put on the other night? That demon got to you, didn't she, brother? I knew you could never quite bear the knowledge of it, that you had killed your own kind."
"You forced me to murder," Jace said. "It wasn't my hand holding the knife that killed Sister Magdalena, it was yours."
"If you like."
Sebastian's smile turned cold. "Regardless, there are others I can threaten. Amatis, rise, and bring Jocelyn here." Clary felt tiny daggers of ice shoot through her veins. She tried to keep her face from showing any expression as the woman kneeling by the throne rose. It was indeed Amatis, with her disconcerting luke-blue eyes. She smiled.
"With pleasure," she said,
and stalked out of the room, the hem of her long red coat sweeping behind her. Jay stepped forward with an inarticulate growl and stopped in his tracks, several feet from Sebastian. He put his hands out, but they seemed to collide with something translucent, an invisible wall. Sebastian snorted.
"As if I'd let you get near me, you, with that fire burning in you. Once was enough, thank you."
"So you know I can kill you," Jay said, facing him, and Clary couldn't help but think how alike they were and how different. Like ice and fire, Sebastian all white and black, and Jace burning up with red and gold.
"You can't hide in there forever. You'll starve."
Sebastian made a quick gesture with his fingers, the way Clary had seen Magnus gesture when he was casting a spell, and Jace flew up and back and slammed into the wall behind them. Her breath caught in a gasp as she spun to see him crumple to the ground, a bloody gash across the side of his head. Sebastian hummed in delight and lowered his hand.
"Don't worry," he said conversationally,
and turned his gaze back to Clary.
"He'll be fine. Eventually. If I don't change my mind about what to do with him. I'm sure you understand, now that you've seen what I can do."
Clary held herself still. She knew how important it was to keep her face blank, not to look at Jason panic, not to show Sebastian her anger or her fear. Deep down in her heart, she knew what he wanted, better than anyone else. She knew what he was like, and that was the best weapon she had.
Well, maybe the second best.
"I've always known you had power," she said, deliberately not looking toward Jace, deliberately not analyzing his motionlessness,
the thick trickle of blood that was making its way down the side of his face. This was always going to happen. It was always going to be her facing Sebastian with no one else, not even Jace, by her side.
"Power," he echoed, as if it were an insult. "Is that what you call it? Here I have more than power, Clary. Here, in this keep, I can shape what is real."
He had begun to pace inside the circle he had drawn, his hands looped casually behind his back, like a professor delivering a lecture.
"This world is connected only by the thinnest threads to the one where we were born. The road through Fairy is one such thread. These windows are another.
Step through that one." He pointed to the window on the right, through which Clary could see dark blue twilight sky and stars.
"And you will return to Idris. But it's not that simple."
He regarded the stars through the window. "I came to this world because it was a place to hide. And then I began to realize.
I am sure our father quoted these words too many times."
He spoke to Jace, as if Jace could hear him.
"But it is better to rule in hell than serve in heaven. And here I rule. I have my dark ones and my demons. I have my keep and citadel. And when the borders of this world are sealed, everything here will be my weapon. Rocks, dead trees, the ground itself will come to my hand and wield its power for me. and the great ones, the old demons, will look down on my work, and they will reward me.